Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Verses 5 and 6 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord. Some years ago, Time magazine reported the results of a survey designed to advertise a new history book. 28 historians, educators, and journalists were asked to rate the 100 most significant events in the history of mankind. When the poll was finished, first place went to Columbus's discovery of America. Second place to Gutenberg's development of movable type. 11 different events tied for third place. And 4 events tied for fourth place included the U.S. Constitution takes effect, Easy makes surgery cleaner, the Wright brothers make their first heavier than air flight, and Jesus Christ is crucified. I'm quite certain that you and I would rank these historical events somewhat differently if we were the ones being told. And I would suggest in the words of our text that Paul would certainly join us in this differing evaluation. Paul adds another dimension to the word which proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ, proclaims Jesus crucified for our sins, and risen again for our salvation. He attests to the fact that the word comes in power. And you and I can attest to that same fact, for the power of the word has in so many ways transformed our own lives. In our text, Paul very correctly gives thanks to God for the fact that the power of the word has become more and more apparent every day in the lives of the Thessalonians. He had witnessed a singular transformation take place among the people of this city. And through the text, he would point us to the fact that the power of God's word working through and in us can be likewise for other people in other cities. The people of Thessalonica, of course, were not some strange breed, not specially chosen people with special revelation. No, like so many other cities of that time, Paul points out to the Thessalonians that he had preached the gospel to them when he had last visited them, preached it in public sermons, in private talks, in daily discussions, that spoken word had been the means of conveying the gospel message. But now in this letter, Paul goes on to say that he is employing the written word to recall to their minds what he has already told them. The same power of transformation through the gospel is still present, he could be said. It does not mean Paul's personality, nor his loquaciousness, nor even his presence. For God's word of itself is our power. And the power of which we speak has no connection with the miracles wrought in Thessalonica, nor does it refer to the powerful way in which Paul speaks, but rather it is the power mentioned in Romans 1:16, the power of grace unto salvation. It is the experience, the confidence produced by the Spirit's power in the hearts of the Thessalonians through the gospel word. Each one coming to believe that Jesus died for him. Strange when you think about it, how mysteriously indeed God seems to me. At the beginning of creation, God took ordinary dirt and formed an image out of it, one which was plain and lifeless. But then God breathed into that image tells us that man became a living soul. God also took away plain, ordinary, lifeless things. And into these words too, he breathed life. And God's word became a special power, special enough to cause men from all time till now to spend their time and their money and, yes, even themselves, in order to be used by God as the instrument to spread that all-powerful word. So Paul says, the gospel which comes to one in God's holy word, whether written or spoken, is unique and powerful. In an age when man is extremely power conscious, this becomes an important factor for us to remember. Someone recently, in describing modern man, referred to him as truly a giant. And in human terms, this can be very true. Man's eyes, through television, can focus on events many thousands of miles away. With the help of radar and sonar, that vision cuts through fog and night with ease. Electronics have enlarged his voice so that the slightest whisper can be turned into a shout, and in the twinkling of an eye, hurled halfway around the world. Airplanes have given wings to man's feet, so much so that now, faster than sound, he has to stop to hear himself coming. A man who is nuclear efficient can literally move mountains and cast them into the sea. Man has become quite powerful. What seems to be the difficulty today, however, is that man does not develop a giant soul to go with that powerful body. Man, because of his sinful nature, somehow always ends up destroying, not creating. But once again, that great power of God's word through the gospel comes into play. What man could never achieve, clean heart and a restored soul, God steps in and achieves for him. Regeneration, renewal, enlightenment, these are terms connected with the power of God's word, bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Terms unknown in their fullest sense to man, except through the salvation of all mankind provided in Jesus our Savior. Many years ago, when I was a young boy, I produced a movie which I want to see. Probably it was a silent movie. And I remember the title was The Power of God. And I remember expecting to sit through that movie and see earthquakes and volcanic eruptions and the collisions of heavenly bodies. But the entire movie pictured instead the gospel of Jesus Christ quietly working to transform life. The still small voice of God speaking to the conscience and to the heart. And this too, we can recognize as transforming power. Paul apparently recognized it in the Thessalonians. And we too realize that through God's grace, it has the same power of which Paul wrote, still present in his holy word today, used to transform the lives of those who are brought to faith by God's Holy Spirit, even through such humble ministry as you and I attempt to perform. So heaven and earth will fade away, God says. My word will not fade away. It stands firm, immovable, powerful, not the theory of some scientist which will be changed by tomorrow's experiment, nor the conjecture of some philosopher guessing at the truth. It is not even the opinion of some theological faculty arrived at after much discussion. No, the unshakable, unbreakable word of God brings the power of grace unto salvation. And so Paul is bold to say in our text, ye became followers of us and of the Lord. Not because he, Paul, was such a powerful, significant figure to be emulated, but rather that God's word had made even him, sinner though he was, a model of faith. Jesus was the chief attraction to the Thessalonians, and they were able to see in the kind of man who speaks the gospel a great deal regarding the effect that that teaching produces. How heartening to know that even today the reflection of Christ in us can induce others to become more Christ-like. It does not say that we add to the power of his word anything from ourselves. In fact, we are aware that by our lives, we might even decrease some of the self-sufficient native power. Sometimes we become almost a clogged channel through which only a little power can flow. And to overcome this fault, we so do. But the Thessalonians knew Paul, the writer, to be a man wholly devoted to the gospel, totally unselfish, doing his work entirely for the sake of his hearers. Thus the text says, much assurance was wrought in their hearts. The power of God's word, alive in the Thessalonians through Paul and alive in us through Christ and Paul and all who have preached that mighty word, and alive in all those who hear our witness. How God bless we are. How powerful is his holy word. How gracious is our God. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds, keep Christ Jesus, unto life everlasting.